You're listening to An Evening Without, as part of Pen World Voices, the New York Festival of International Literature.
Hi, Martin Davis, talking about Graham Greene. Russell is going to be soon reading from Graham Greene, so I'm going to read something about Graham Greene. Now, Greene was barred from the U.S. in 1952, because of his brief membership in the Communist Party when he was a teenager. 4 years later, the State Department determined that Greene's membership had been a joke and recommended that he be allowed to enter the country. But Greene didn't like you. When I interviewed him in Paris in 1984, just before his 80th birthday, I said to him, "So you avoid going to the United States?" And he said, "Well, I don't like the United States. And I don't like New York. I don't like the electricity. I don't like getting an electric shock whenever I touch a door handle. I don't like the dirt. And on the whole, with many exceptions, I don't like Americans." He had what my father called a communist accent, where he rolled his R's. And when he said rational or irrational, you couldn't tell the difference between the stressed words. Just to end on my father, he came up with the marvelous, the best parodic title for a Graham Greene novel, which was Visa to Darkness. And also a very good opening sentence of a Graham Greene novel, which was, "Pity moved in him like disgust." Or, in brackets, "Disgust moved in him like pity." Now, I added a brief postscript to my interview with him, which consisted of stuff I didn't feel I could say while he was still alive. And it goes as follows. "Geopolitical change has made Greene's opinions and preoccupations sound rather more antique than they sounded in 1984. But I suspect that his legend will increasingly tend towards the nostalgic, the romantic, the regressive. It is, as communists used to say, no accident that his novels work most powerfully on the adolescent. For my generation, Graham Greene was inevitably the first serious writer you came across. He seemed exemplarily adult and exemplarily modern. Now he seems neither. Now he seems adolescent, though in the richest and again the most romantic sense. It is a commonplace to say that his novels, for all their geographical variety, did not develop. Greenland stays the same. What happened was that he got older as he wrote about it. His manner changes, the surprising poetry of the early novels, the gaunt and sober maturity of the 40s and the 50s, and the more playful and forgiving later work. But the oppositions, the relationships, the moral trade-offs are all recognizably constant. I do not find this world over-schematic so much as weirdly suspenseless. The faith breaker must die. The policeman's pistol will tend to be phallic. The adulterer will never be redeemed. Greene's influence, nonetheless, will remain deep and formative. We happened to read him before he read anybody else. He was an awakener. Two additional memories survived this visit. When we exchanged the man-made earth colors of Greene's apartment on the Rue Malesherbes, he did look like a headmaster, and his sitting room looked like a headmaster's study, for the bright lights and tuxed waiters of the prosperous Right Bank Brasserie. There was a third person present, Greene's woman friend, whom I had agreed not to mention, and shall not name here, even though her identity is well enough known. As we were being seated by the maître d', or some comparably exalted personage, the lunches fell silent. Then came a surge, of agitated murmurs. This had nothing to do with Graham Greene. It had to do with the removal of his friend's overcoat, revealing a woman of a certain age, but still fiercely gamine, in purple angora sweater and skin-tight, shiny black trousers. In other words, a 65-year-old piece of ass. Greene enjoyed this frisson, this minor épatement, as clearly as he enjoyed his pre-lunch martini. And his friend's conversation, as for his friend's conversation, we had several acquaintances in common, and she proved to be a passionate and talented gossip. When I returned from the boulevard Malesherbes to my hotel in the Latin Quarter, I entered a scene from one of Graham Greene's darker entertainments. In the lobby, people were wielding mops and buckets with an air of resigned and weary lamentation. A member of the staff had just been decapitated in the lift shaft. Thanks very much.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit www.penn.org.